from the WGXC newsroom. This is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Thursday, December 29th, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. Rosa Atchison is reporting in the Register-Star that the Greenport Planning Board voted unanimously on Tuesday, December the 27th, in favor of a continuation of the site plan modification for the Sunstream Solar Facility on County Route 31. Planning Board Chairman Edward Stippler said, and I quote, "It is a very, very, very sad day as far as I'm concerned for the town of Greenport. I will vote yes because the law that I believe in says you have proven your case. You have complied with the SECRA. But I'll tell you what, it was probably the toughest decision I have ever made, and all of it could have been avoided with a little bit of honesty and a little bit of cooperation and working together," end quote. Issues with the site plan were brought to the board when the town code enforcement officer visited the site and discovered a number of poles had been erected that were outside the scope of the approved site plan. Planning Board received the original site plan application 2 years ago. The application showed underground lines and a single line leading to a single pole to connect to the grid, Stippler said on Tuesday. He said, and I quote, "I think for whatever reason we became the victim of a bully, and it's been a bully since day one," end quote. Sunstream agreed to install 6 Norway spruce trees on the property to block the view of the utility poles. The trees will be installed by May 1st and will be maintained for up to 10 years. Sunstream Solar, a Pennsylvania-based company, contracted with Dynamic Energy to construct the facility. The field fuels St. Peter's Hospital in Albany. None of the power generated at the location is used locally. You can read that full story in the Register-Star. Amelia Teasdale's reporting in the Columbia paper that Marilyn Cohen, chairman of the Chatham Town Planning Board, has resigned effective December the 31st. Her letter of resignation was read into the official record at the December 15th meeting of the Chatham Town Board. Cohen said her resignation was due to, and I quote, "fundamental differences I have with the new administration," end quote. She said she was not consulted about appointments, including legal counsel and a planning board clerk. She wrote, and I quote, "People we are currently working with have simply been foisted upon us. It is clear to me that this current town board wishes to control the actions of the planning board, and this is something that I will not take part in," end quote. During the public comment portion of the meeting, resident Mike Blassel asked about other resignations, including 5 members of the Zoning Board of Appeals. He also asked that information about what town board members are paid in other towns be provided to the Citizens Finance Committee for consideration during the next budget season. The town is currently looking to fill a total of 9 positions. Beginning in November, 5 members of the Zoning Board of Appeals, 3 from the Planning Board, including Cohen, and the town historian all submitted letters of resignation to Town Supervisor Maria Lull. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. William J. Kimball is reporting in the Daily Freeman that the expected purchase price of Hudson Valley Mall is $8.1 million, approximately 12% of the property's assessed value. Ulster Town Supervisor James Quigley said such a small amount for a large space could destabilize the retail business base in Ulster. Quigley said of the prospective buyer, James Hull, and I quote, "He's going to create an environment where he has a cost advantage over other locations in the retail environment in the town of Ulster," end quote. Hull is the owner of the Georgia-based Hull Property Group. Quigley recently met with Hull representatives. Quigley said, and I quote, "I'm worried about retailers chasing that cost advantage and starting to play checkers and leaving existing commercial property to go to another location, thus destabilizing the location that they're currently in," end quote. The mall was placed in receivership after its owner, PCK Development of Liverpool, Onondaga County, defaulted on nearly $50 million in debt. The plan for Hull to buy the mall was announced earlier this month, but the expected purchase price was not publicized. Hull supposedly has plans to spend $10 million on improvements to the property, but Quigley is concerned that the buyer has not elaborated on those plans. The supervisor said, and I quote, "So far, Mr. Hull has not been capable of articulating any kind of recovery plan," end quote. Hudson Valley Mall was opened in 1981 and expanded in 1982, 1989, and the early 2000s. Over the summer, approximately 20% of the complex's rentable space was empty. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Matthew Hamilton and Claire Hughes are reporting in the Times Union that on Wednesday, December the 28th, State Health Commissioner Howard Zucker declared the flu widespread in New York. The declaration triggers a requirement for unvaccinated health workers to wear surgical masks when they are likely to encounter patients. There have been laboratory-confirmed cases in 39 counties, including in the capital region and the boroughs of New York City. The highest rate of flu have been reported downstate. So far, 658 flu-related hospitalizations have been reported. There have been no child deaths from flu. State health officials, state residents who have not yet been vaccinated against the flu this season should do so. You can read that full story in the Times Union. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced on December the 27th that New York State has received $7.7 million in federal funding for 117 existing programs to help victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. Funding through the Federal Violence Against Women's Act goes to these local organizations. The Community Action of Greene County, Incorporated, receives $27,145 for domestic violence services and to improve systems response via task force meetings and trainings for community partners in Columbia and Greene counties. In Our Own Voices, Incorporated, receives two awards of $35,600 for LGBT sexual assault services and technical assistance for service providers, community members, and law enforcement in Albany, Columbia, Greene, Montgomery, Rensselaer, Saratoga, and Schenectady County. Legal Aid Society of Northeastern New York, Columbia and Greene counties, received $35,589 for civil legal services for domestic violence victims. Catholic Charities of Schoharie County received $34,355 for domestic violence services, including 80% funding for a victim's advocate. And Albany County Crime Victims and Sexual Violence Center of Albany County received $66,750 for a sexual assault response team and partially fund a domestic violence prosecutor, a sheriff's investigator, and a victim's liaison. Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Albany Times Union that the New York Attorney General's Office and the State Committee on Open Government disagree about a statute that blocks the public disclosure of police disciplinary files. Harvey Brody, an embattled investigator with the State Office of Medicaid Inspector General, was denied a Freedom of Information Law request by the Attorney General's Office, which cited the statute, Section 50-A. Now, for the third year in a row, the State Committee on Open Government wants the repeal or overhaul of the statute. Lyons wrote, and I quote, "A recent Times Union series raised questions about the arguable misuse of the statute, which has been expanded by court decisions through the years," end quote. You can read that full story in the Albany Times Union. Matthew Hamilton reports in Capital Confidential that former Republican gubernatorial candidate and co-chair of President-elect Donald Trump's New York campaign, Carl Paladino, apologized to, and I quote, "the minority community," end quote, on December 27th for recent comments wishing Michelle Obama to, and I quote, "return to being a male," end quote, and I quote, "live with a gorilla in an African cage," end quote. Paladino said in a statement, and I quote, "I never intended to hurt the minority community who I spent years trying to help out of the cycle of poverty in our inner cities. To them, I apologize," end quote. Paladino refused to resign from the Buffalo School Board. A Trump spokesperson disavowed Paladino's original statement. Trump's Deputy Communications Director, Jessica Ditto, said, and I quote, "Carl's comments are absolutely reprehensible and they serve no place in our public discourse," end quote. You can read that full story in Capital Confidential. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter weather advisory from 7 a.m. Thursday until 7 a.m. on Friday. Snow will develop on Thursday morning and continue into Thursday night. The snow may be mixed with rain afternoon. A possible accumulation of 2 to 5 inches is expected. Temperature high near 35 degrees. For Thursday night, a chance of rain and snow before 8 p.m., turning into snow between 8 p.m. and midnight. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 29. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Friday, a slight chance of snow showers after 8 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 35 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 20. And on Saturday, a slight chance of snow after 1 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 33 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of snow before midnight, then a slight chance of snow showers after midnight, mostly cloudy with a low around 28. The sun rose this morning at 7:23 a.m., and the sun will set at 4:32 p.m. That will give us 9 hours and 8 minutes of daylight, 1 minute more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Thursday, the 29th day of December 2016. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.